Distilling the compounds that count. You're listening to Chemistry in its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World magazine.
This week, the compound behind the allure of a certain well-known perfume. And sniffing out its chemistry is Simon Cotton.
Iconic is a much abused adjective, but if there is one consumer product to which it can be applied, it is surely Chanel No. 5. Its packaging is quite unmistakable, especially the design of the bottle, and it has been advertised by a bevy of beautiful and famous women, recently including Nicole Kidman and Audrey Tautou, but most notably Marilyn Monroe. When Monroe was asked what she wore in bed, she replied, 5 drops of Chanel No. 5. Most of what you pay for a bottle of perfume is spent on the packaging, advertising and profit for the manufacturer. Less than 5% represents the cost of the chemicals that make up the perfume, but without them and the chemists who confect them, there would be no scent to smell. All perfumes employ mixtures of chemicals, small, volatile molecules to provide the immediate impact, medium-sized molecules that generate the main personality that lasts for several hours, and large, quite involatile molecules that provide the smell that endures when all the other molecules have gone. Since the 1880s, man-made molecules have increasingly been used, and of these, the medium-sized molecule that has become famous for its association with Chanel No. 5 is a 12-carbon aldehyde, 2-methyl-undecanal. 2-methyl-undecanal occurs in nature in tiny amounts in the essential oil of kumquat, a type of citrus fruit. It was first synthesized by French chemist Georges Darzon and reported in 1904. Almost immediately in 1905, 2-methyl-undecanal was used by Darzon himself in the perfume Florimi. In 1912, the perfumer Robert Bien-Aimé used 2-methyl-undecanal in the perfume Quelquefleur for Houbigon. 2 years later, a relatively unknown perfumer called Ernest Beau, working for the leading Russian perfume makers, used aldehydes, though not as yet 2-methyl-undecanal, in a new perfume of his, Raleigh No. 1. We know this because original sealed bottles were recently discovered. At the time, aldehydes were something new in perfumes, but Beau was obviously aware of what the leading French perfumers were doing. The First World War broke out in the year that Beau's new perfume was launched. Beau left Russia in the aftermath of the Russian Revolution, and in 1920 he was working in the south of France, in the French perfume capital, Grasse, when he was introduced to a young French woman. Gabrielle Bonheur Chanel, known to us now as Coco, had come up the hard way from a very poor background, including 6 years in an orphanage. Through a combination of determination, hard work, a flair for fashion, and some influential boyfriends, she had opened shops in Paris, Deauville, and Biarritz. Legend has it that she was introduced to Beau by her then lover, Grand Duke Dmitri Pavlovich, another Russian emigre, on the beach at Cannes. Chanel asked Beau to create a new perfume for her. Coco Chanel was prone to reinvent herself, and there are many stories about this perfume. One is that Beau put several different mixtures in numbered bottles, and Chanel picked No. 5 as it was her lucky number. Another story is that Beau's assistant made a mistake and put far too much aldehyde in sample 5. When he composed Chanel No. 5, Ernest Beau built on the knowledge and achievements of his predecessors. Besides employing traditional natural materials like jasmine and rose and lily, he used some of the synthetic materials that had come into use in the preceding 40 years, like vanillin and nitro musks. And of course he used aldehydes, and not just straight-chain aldehydes, as branched-chain aldehydes like 2-methyl-undecanal have a stronger and more pleasant smell. Beau was not the first person to use aldehydes, but he used them in much greater amounts, and this supplies the impact of Chanel No. 5. Beau is reported as saying that their effect on the perfume is like lemon juice on strawberries, and the rest is history. But what of the man who gave us 2-methyl-undecanal, Georges Darzon? Darzon was a polymath. And apart from being a chemist, he obtained a degree in mathematics and a diploma in physics, then went to medical school, all the while continuing chemical studies and researches. In the pioneering age of the automobile, he designed and built 3 cars, as well as being a director of a perfume company for over 20 years, and a professor at the École Polytechnique in Paris from 1913 until his retirement in 1939. But the bravest thing he did was to support Captain Alfred Dreyfus, who was imprisoned on the penal colony of Devil's Island in 1894, where he was to spend 5 years on trumped-up charges of treason. Everyone associates this classic perfume with Coco Chanel, but without the chemists who made the molecules and the perfumer who mixed them, it would not exist.
A classic compound which probably continues to bring together unlikely pairings through its attractive scent. That was Birmingham University's Simon Cotton with the fragrant chemistry of 2-methyl-undecanal. Now, next week, for those spurned by the females wearing Chanel No. 5, some pain relief.
Lundqvist had just injected himself with a solution of white crystals prepared by the female member of the team, Inga Fischer. The compound, at that point known simply as LL30, was a new anesthetic, and occasionally during these unauthorized tests, Lundqvist's pulse would drop below 25 beats per minute, and Lundqvist himself would drop to the floor. But no matter, Löfgren would then invigorate him with a shot of adrenaline, and the two scientists soon went on to try out different concentrations and preparations, mostly on their fingers, although their successful experiments did have the awkward side effect of making the bike ride home difficult. This compound is known today as lidocaine, and its pain-relieving properties have probably cured more than a few people of their dentophobia, thanks to its extensive use in dentistry.
And to find out the chemistry underlying the effects of this anaesthetic, join Lars Urstrom in next week's Chemistry in Its Element. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Meera Senthilingam.
Chemistry in Its Element comes to you from Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry, and is produced by thenakedscientists.com. There are more compounds that count on our website at chemistryworld.org/compounds.